A reading from Mark chapter 3. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him, and he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Amen.
The unclean spirit said, "You are the Son of God." Longtime city people, specifically children, have a way of stringing insults together until they become a compliment. Other city children understand. Outsiders can't often figure it out. They misinterpret the dialogue. Jesus says and does a whole bunch of true and important things for you, wouldn't you say? So many things with such meaning that whole books have been written about them and contain them in other books, on top of books that have been written about the original books that contain Jesus' claims and promises. Jesus' disciples have said many true and important things concerning him. We would expect that. We have heard enough of them that we can even become lethargic in our listening and mentally comment to ourselves that, yeah, I've heard that already. In our day, if an opponent compliments someone else, we can make one of a few different judgments, two of those judgments being one, that we assume they are being sarcastic, or two, we can assume that it is very true and important. If we think it's of the second type, then we would believe that what has been said is a really strong characteristic of the recipient. What is different and unexpected, and maybe we should listen better to them, is that the opponents of Jesus Christ also say things about him that are true and important, intentionally or unintentionally. I recognize that Lent is still a few days away. During Lent, and particularly Holy Week, Jesus' opponents say true and important things about Jesus. Some unintentionally speak well of Christ. Caiaphas speaking of Jesus, "It is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." In the context of Jesus, that statement has profound truth. Jesus himself, innocent, died one man for the people. And Pilate speaking of Jesus, "I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him." In the context of Jesus, that's absolutely true. Pilate sounds like quite a witness for Jesus. Or the scribes, as Jesus hung on the cross, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." That is true and important too. But quite a load of sarcasm and disrespect in the last one, and I can only imagine a group of activists shouting it and clapping their hands, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." of these three examples, and there are others to be sure you can figure them out. Enough for a Lenten sermon series. These people do not know that what they are saying about the Son of God can be reinterpreted. They didn't appreciate what excellent things they were saying for the benefit of those who come later. Trying to disrespect, they actually salute the Son of God. Other statements in the Bible are intentional and made out of awe. A favorite with some is the confession of the centurion who administered the crucifixion, saying, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." This is a much more positive and intentional statement than the others, far more honest and true and important, not sarcastic, but meant to be a compliment. But in our text comes the real surprise in the confession of the unclean spirits and demons who inhabited people. They say, intentionally, "You are the Son of God." Even though they are opposed to Christ, what they say without any sarcasm to my ear. What they say is from knowledge and certainly with both awe and perhaps fear. What they say is true and important. The one before them of whom they speak is personally true and important and life-giving. He actually is the Son of God, and they confess it. I recently heard from someone else, for every saint, there was a past. For every sinner, there is a future. We might make a fateful choice to assume that the Word of God will not work on someone and not try very hard to make our witness heard. We make a judgment that this person is too far gone. They're a sinner. They speak and act with evil intent, but they can have a future in Christ. We might conclude that they have no future. We might become lazy, and we might move on to talk of Christ only to those who meet our idea of a saint, when in fact we are always talking to sinners. They will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be changed and called to be a saint. The past is not fixed when in the presence of Christ. We are all sinners anyway. We always need the Word of God to our ears in order to give us comfort and support. If the past was the only important thing, St. Paul would have been lost. But he had a future in Christ, and we now know him to be a saint, and he is one of those who is publicly called a saint. About us, we are sometimes fully aligned with Christ, but in hard times, we might have doubts. The word of the Son of God is what picks us up. As seminarians and professors and all who hear this message today, we are hopefully not unintentional about our own speech, nor by our vagueness should we require others to search for Christ in our expressions about him. We can be intentional, and that every word of Christ crucified and Christ as Savior and Christ as the Son of God has no chance of being missed, no chance of being misinterpreted. For the Son of God has the words of eternal life, and these words speak of him, and these speak of him to us individually, not just in general. The Lord God has said, and this yesterday, the word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. We are thankful for being now called saints, yet we are sinners. We have each had our pasts, but now through Christ we look to the future, and we can share the words of Christ that have given us new birth in body and spirit. We can let each promise of our Savior still our own fears and pass it on for the benefit of the others. This Jesus, Son of God, who strictly ordered the unclean spirits not to make him known, anticipates now that we will do the opposite. He went to the cross as one man dying for all, as Caiaphas said. And as a man totally innocent, as Pilate said. And when he hung on the cross, he saved others, as the scribes said. Each of us a beneficiary. And now risen, our Savior anticipates that we will go and teach others, whether we believe them a sinner or a saint, to teach and make Christ known. May we each daily sing our praise to our Savior. Let us raise glad anthems of praise till our highest praise is given in the endless joy of heaven. Why? Why do this? Because he saved others, this Son of God. Himself he did not save because of his love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.